Two before our prayer time. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your son. We thank you for your spirit who takes your word and helps us to understand it and to give glory and praise to you and always give glory to your son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you'd help us to do that ourselves this morning, not just now, but later and as we fellowship with one another. We pray that all that would be said and done would be pleasing to you. And I thank you and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, back in January, we looked at Daniel chapter 1 mainly. And
the microphone is either not working or not close enough.
Okay. Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
That better? Okay. All right. When we looked at Daniel chapter 1, we considered how Daniel handled being a captive in Babylon who was trained to enter the service of the king. We saw that in chapter 1, verse 5, and then verse 19. He didn't rebel. He didn't fight against the training he went through. You know, he was, if you look in chapter 1, they were going to be given a duty to learn the things of Babylon. They were going to be studying languages. They were getting ready to enter the personal service of the king. But he did purpose not to defile himself. You notice in verse 8, but Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Whatever exactly in the law that he disagreed with, he understood that he should not do, he did not want to violate. And so he found a way, talking to the commander, to do something different, to eat vegetables, to drink water that was not in violation for him, but obviously something different from what the king had wanted. When the training was over, he and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah were presented to the king, and we see this in verse 18, and it says, then at the end of the days which the king had specified for presenting them, the commander of the officials presented them before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king talked with them, and out of them all, not one was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's personal service. And as for every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and conjurers who were in all his realm. And Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus the king. So Daniel and his three friends far exceeded all the other young men who came and who were brought into to be serving the king. And he did that. And we see beginning in chapter 2 something that would bring the course of help us to know what's going to happen for the rest of the days. The setting is in chapter 2, verse 1. Says now in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was troubled, and his sleep left him. Then the king gave orders to all, and the magicians and the conjurers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came in and stood before the king, and the king said to them, "I had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to understand the dream." Then the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic. O king, live forever. Tell the dream to your servants, and we will declare the interpretation. And if we continued that, we'd find out that they said, well, tell us the dream, and we'll tell you the interpretation. And the king got upset and said, no, you have to tell me the dream and the interpretation. And that went on until we get down to verse 10. It says, the Chaldeans answered the king and said, there is not a man on earth who could declare the matter. For the king, inasmuch as no great king or ruler has ever asked anything like this of any magician, conjurer, or Chaldean. Moreover, the thing which the king demands is difficult, and there is no one else who could declare it to the king except gods, whose dwelling place is not with mortal flesh. Because of this, the king became indignant and very furious, and gave orders to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they looked for Daniel and his friends to kill them. So we see that Daniel and his friends, who had nothing to do with this, they were going to be killed along with the rest because no one could give the dream and the interpretation. But then we see what Daniel did. In verse 14 it says, "Then Daniel replied with discretion and discernment to Arioch, the captain of the king's bodyguard, who had gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's commander, 'For what reason is the decree from the king so urgent?' Then Arioch informed Daniel about the matter. So Daniel went in and requested of the king that he would give him time in order that he might declare the interpretation of the king." And then this is where we see where Daniel prayed, and he prayed, but we don't know exactly what the prayer was, but we'll see what he said afterwards. "Then Daniel went to his house and informed his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, about the matter, in order that they might request compassion from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his friends might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon." And then we read in verse 19, "Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, 'Let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him, and it is he who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. It is he who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To thee, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for thou hast given me wisdom and power. Even now thou hast made known to me what we have requested of thee. For thou hast made known to us the king's matter." So we see that in this, as Daniel responded to God's answer to his prayer, we see some things that I think are good for all of us when we pray and we ask God for something specific. Not many of us, I don't think any of you, certainly haven't had to ask God to save my life from something necessarily, like Daniel was in his situation. But, you know, there are times when each one of us, I know it's happened to us. We've been, you know, on the highway and somebody's coming a different direction and you get really scared and you just cry out to God. It's happened to us at least a couple of times. But we want to really look at what Daniel says here in answer to God's prayer, because God's answer to Daniel's prayer is one of the most important answers that you could ever give, because he's going to reveal to Nebuchadnezzar what's going to happen for the rest of the world as we know it. And so we wanted to look at what Daniel had to say. Notice he says first of all, it says in verse 9, "Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven." And we could take that probably as a summary of what he's going to say. And we see the specifics of it. And I want you to notice, you know, we read four verses. This is a very brief prayer, verses 20 to 23 of what he said, but it's packed with things that each of us should be reminded of when we get an answer from God of what he's done in our behalf or in the behalf of others that are around us. It says, "Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, 'Let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him.'" Now, as we start this, I want you to notice, looking at the few verses here, how many times he says God and him. I counted him, he, him, and God. He's talking about what God has done. But then we'll also see in the last verse, he'll say thee. I, thou, me, thou, me, we, and thee. This is both, it's both looking at in a sense of a third person looking outward, but he's also speaking directly to him. And we see so that this is a very general prayer, but it's a very intimate prayer. It's a very personal prayer that Daniel makes. First of all, he says, let the name of God be blessed forever and ever. In other words, let him be praised forever and ever for what God is showing him and what God has granted him in this deliverance from being killed along with his friends and along with the others. He says, God be blessed forever and ever. And he gives a reason. He says, for wisdom and power belong to him. You know, it's important to be reminded that when it comes to what God is doing and what we ask God, God is the one who has the wisdom, and God is the one who has power. We think that we can do things, and we all can do things. We all have strength. We all have minds. We all have energy, but there are times when we have to realize that it is God who has power. It is God who has wisdom. And anything that we have comes from him. It doesn't come from ourselves. It doesn't come from something we conjure up, so to speak. It comes from his word, working by his spirit in our hearts, in our minds, that we might know him and that we might serve him. Notice in verse 21, he says, it is he who changes the times and the epochs. He's the one that is in charge of time, not us. Not other people. God is in charge of time. He says he removes kings and establishes kings. You know, Daniel is serving a great king. He's going to serve other kings. He's going to serve Darius. He's going to serve Cyrus. And each of these men, they had their own qualities, their own abilities. And, you know, it may be, and I hope he did. Nebuchadnezzar became a believer. We don't know about Darius. We don't know about Cyrus. But he is the one who sets up kings, and he is the one who removes kings. And we know in the case of Belshazzar, that he was taken off in a very sudden way. He didn't even know what was coming. God removes the kings, and God sets up kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. Now, we think that we can study and read and listen to things and whatever other means we might gain knowledge, but it's God who gives wisdom. It's God who gives knowledge. It's God who gives us what we need that we are able to function in this world. And Daniel is acknowledging this because he knows that it didn't come from him. It wasn't something that he drummed up. It wasn't something that he had planned to do himself. It was something that God had given to him. And just the importance of that, he gives. It's not we get from him. He gives. He is the one who determines those things. It says in verse 22, it is he who reveals profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. You know, there are things that people have studied. There are things that people have researched. And some of them are just absolutely amazing. I was watching something the other day in the TV in the break room. And they were showing some things about the sea. And it's just, you know, it's amazing. You just go down a little ways and things begin to change. You see creatures here, but then you don't see creatures when you get farther down. And you just see how colors and the way things are put together, it's magnificent. And it's something that only God could do. And only God does. It is he who reveals profound things and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. And, you know, men, scientists, they have studied these things, and they marvel at these things. But sorrowfully, they don't acknowledge the God who gave them the ability to see those things. Well, then notice in verse 23, it changes. Remember I said in the beginning it was God, he. Now it says, to thee, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise. For thou hast given me wisdom and power. Even now thou hast made known to me what we requested of thee. Notice he says, the God of my fathers. Where is Daniel? Daniel's hundreds and hundreds of miles away from his home. He's hundreds and hundreds of miles away from the temple. He's hundreds and hundreds of miles away from Jerusalem and the land that he grew up in. But he says, the God of my fathers. There's that sense of understanding that he knows that that's going to continue. Those relationships will continue. He says, I give thanks and praise. And he tells why. For thou hast given me wisdom and power. He knows that what God, what he had in relation to being able to serve the king came from God. He gave him wisdom. He gave him power. And he says in the end there, even now thou hast made known to me what we requested of thee, for thou hast made known to us the king's matter. Very simple prayer, just four verses, but very profound in that we are to be reminded who God is, what God has done, and when God acts in our behalf, we are to give him the praise, and we are to give him the honor. And Daniel's going to give the understanding of the dream that he had, and it covers from his time to our time and beyond. And what a magnificent prayer that was that he gave to him, just these four verses and his understanding of who God is and what God has done. Jim, I turn it over to you.